Threshold extension demodulators for multi-channel telephone. Introduction. Multi-channel telephone transmission over microwave radio links, in line of sight, troposcatter, or communication satellite systems typically use frequency modulation. FM demodulators exhibit a relationship between the input carrier-to-noise ratio and the post-detection signal-to-noise ratio that is nonlinear near a point which is called the threshold. When the incoming carrier falls below this threshold, the noise at the demodulated output increases at a rate which is between 3 and 8 dB for each dB of carrier reduction. Line-of-sight systems are usually designed so that the received signal is above threshold for the worst fading condition. In troposcatter and satellite systems, the cost of producing a given carrier-to-noise ratio at the demodulator input is much higher. In FM systems, the post-detection noise can be kept the same if the modulation or frequency deviation is increased and the carrier power is reduced. The limit of this procedure occurs either when there is no more available bandwidth or when the demodulator threshold is reached. In any power-limited system where there is adequate bandwidth available, extending the demodulator threshold will either permit a cost reduction or an increase in the number of available telephone channels. Multi-channel telephone system requirements. Multi-channel telephone system performance is defined in terms of the total noise power in each telephone channel. This noise includes interference due to crosstalk, intermodulation, and all other sources of noise at an arbitrarily chosen point called the 0 dB transmission point level, 0 TL point. At this point, the reference test tone power is 1 milliwatt. When power levels are measured anywhere else in the system, they are referred back to the 0 TL point and expressed as dBm0. The maximum allowable noise objectives are specified in terms of hypothetical reference circuits. The reference is 4,000 miles in the Bell telephone system, 6,000 miles in the U.S. Defense Communications System, and 2,500 miles in the international CCITT and CCIR recommendations. The noise objective in the Bell and DCS systems is 38 dBA, which means 38 dB above an adjusted reference noise power, which is minus 85 dBm0. The CCITT and CCIR noise objective is that the 1 minute mean power should not exceed 10,000 picowatts, sophometrically weighted, for more than 20% of the month, or more than 50,000 picowatts for more than 0.3% of any month. The sophometric weighting represents the international agreement applying to the response of a typical telephone subset. The output of a sophometrically weighted telephone circuit is 2.5 dB less in the range 300 to 3400 Hz than it would be if the response was flat and if evenly distributed noise were applied to the circuit. The C message weighting used by the Bell system has about 1 dB less power reduction of a flat noise signal than the sophometric weighting. The 38 dBA objective of the U.S. systems corresponds to about 25,000 picowatts, sophometrically weighted. In COMSAT systems, the reference circuit is one hop and is taken from the input of the transmitter modulator to the output of the receiver demodulator at the distant end. In satellite systems, 1,000 picowatts is allowed for interference from other microwave systems and 600 picowatts for the receiver. Although various methods of digital modulation are rapidly being developed, the majority of long-haul telephone circuits making use of microwave radio links employ frequency division multiplex, FDM, FM. In this system, the telephone channels are transmitted on subcarriers which are spaced 4 kHz and are modulated to produce a single sideband suppressed carrier signal. The total load of all subcarriers is then used to frequency modulate the radio frequency carrier. The total load is less than the number of channels multiplied by the test tone load. The total load may be simulated by a band-limited noise whose RMS value is greater than the test tone by an empirically determined ratio, that depends upon talker activity and other factors. The CCIR specifies the ratio above test tone as minus 1 plus 4 log n below 240 channels and minus 15 plus 10 log n above 240 channels. In an attempt to equalize the noise in all telephone channels, about 8 dB of pre-emphasis at the transmitter and de-emphasis at the receiver is used. The crossover point, where the specified test tone deviation actually occurs, is defined as 0.608 times the top baseband frequency for any channel capacity. In addition to a measurement of the average telephone channel noise with a relatively long time constant instrument, there is a specification for impulse noise. A large amount of digital data is transmitted on telephone circuits for operation of TWX, Telex, and various data sets for remote entry of data to computers. A group of 12 telephone channels, or a band of 48 kHz, is also used for wideband data transmission at rates up to 50 kilobits per second. Impulse noise spikes do not seriously interfere with telephone conversations, but can cause errors in data transmission. It has been found that for data transmission on a single voice circuit, a bit error rate of 1 in 100,000 is exceeded if there is more than one impulse spike per minute that exceeds a level of minus 21 dBm0. For wideband data transmission, the commonly accepted limit is 2 impulses per minute exceeding a level of minus 11 dBm0. As the impulse amplitude is related to the square of the bandwidth, a given pulse in a 3.1 kHz bandwidth will be theoretically 23.8 dB larger in a 48 kHz bandwidth. Measurements in actual systems using standard multiplex equipment have indicated a 22 dB increase in amplitude. This does not mean that the carrier level must be increased by this ratio, because the impulse count generated by typical FM demodulators reduces very rapidly as the carrier power is increased. A third criterion for demodulator performance in multi-carrier, multi-channel telephone systems is immunity of interference from one modulated carrier into an adjacent carrier. The guard band between carriers is approximately 10% of the occupied bandwidth. The same impulse count limits apply to interfering carriers. 3. Types of threshold extension demodulators. The classical problem in optimizing a frequency-modulated system is to minimize the receiver input power required to produce in the presence of white Gaussian noise, a predetermined noise power at the zero TL point in each telephone channel. The phenomenon of thresholding occurs at a point where the carrier power exceeds the noise power in the predetection bandwidth by about 10 dB. Random noise has a peak to RMS ratio of 10 to 13 dB. Thresholding occurs then when the noise peaks are roughly equivalent to the peak of the carrier. If the predetection bandwidth can be effectively narrowed without degrading the quality of the modulation below acceptable limits, the noise power and hence the carrier power required to overcome the noise can be reduced. The bandwidth cannot be made less than that required to pass the modulated signal. One way of reducing the required bandwidth is to reduce the modulation on the signal reaching the detector, and this can be done by negative feedback or frequency compression. As in all feedback systems, stability considerations govern the design of the feedback path. One severe limitation is the total time delay around the feedback loop. As was mentioned above, in the case of communications satellite systems, there is a limit of 600 picowatts of noise allowed for receiving systems, and this is a principal limitation on the amount of frequency compression and associated noise bandwidth reduction that can be used. There are three basic types of feedback demodulators. The first is the frequency feedback or FMFB receiver. This is described in references 2 and 3. We will recite these references at the end of the report. The basic circuit includes a voltage-controlled oscillator, which is frequency-modulated by the output of a discriminator, which has been passed through a baseband filter. The output of this oscillator is mixed with the incoming frequency-modulated signal to generate a new signal that has less frequency modulation than the originally received signal. It is this new signal that is passed to the discriminator. Since the new signal has less modulation than the original signal, it can be passed through a narrower filter than would have been required for the original. The amount of feedback determines the amount of frequency compression and hence the amount of threshold extension that is possible. In the second type of feedback demodulator, see reference 4, the detection process takes place in a phase detector instead of a frequency discriminator. The phase detector requires two input signals instead of one, as in the case of a discriminator. One input signal is the incoming modulated signal, and the other is the output of the voltage-controlled oscillator, whose controlling voltage is obtained from the phase detector output passed through a low-pass filter. This circuit is known as a phase-locked loop, and the subsystem is called a PL demodulator. The available threshold extension depends upon the loop gain and the low-pass filter design. It has been shown that the threshold performance improves with the loop transfer function degree, but the loop becomes conditionally stable with more than a fourth-order loop. Stability here refers to the ability to immediately relock after interference or a noise spike has caused loss of lock to occur. In the third type of demodulator, a phase detector and a low-pass filter are again used, but the control voltage steers a voltage-controlled filter, and the center frequency is caused to follow the frequency-modulated carrier. In this case, there is no reduction in the modulation, but as the filter is narrower than the RF transmission bandwidth, the noise is reduced and the threshold extended. The filter output is connected to a conventional balanced limiter discriminator, and the signal is demodulated. This is called a dynamic tracking filter, or a TF demodulator. See references 5 and 6. It has been found that improved threshold performance is obtained if the control loop filter and the TF demodulator is designed to have a control loop response which matches the preemphasis characteristic of the transmitted signal. There is as yet no exact theoretical solution for the total post-detection noise below threshold for any of the above devices, and there is therefore no exact solution to the optimization problem. Experimental optimizations have been performed to obtain the top channel threshold approximately midway between the 10,000 and 50,000 picowatt points. Camp, in reference 3, showed that the PL phase lock demodulator should operate at a lower threshold than other types, but operating data on a number of commercial units in 1969 shows that the difference in performance between the three types described is small. Definition of threshold and optimization data. One definition of threshold that is currently used in analytical work is the point where the post-detection signal-to-noise ratio has dropped 1 dB below the straight-line extension of the relationship between input carrier-to-noise and post-detection signal-to-noise in one telephone channel. Two difficulties with this definition are that the threshold occurs at different points in the high and low telephone channels. Another problem is that the linear portion of the characteristic above threshold, particularly in the lowest telephone channel, may be difficult to identify precisely. For the purpose of comparing demodulators or qualifying production units, it is more convenient to arbitrarily define the threshold as the point where the value of the input signal causes the weighted noise in the worst channel to reach 50,000 picowatts at the zero TL point. This corresponds to a weighted signal-to-noise ratio of 43 dB, or an unweighted, that is, flat ratio of 40.5 dB. This definition is only applicable to high deviation operation, where optimum performance with minimum signal power is sought. For example, in line-of-sight operation or in satellite operation with Intelsat 4 spot beams, where bandwidth conservation is more important than maximum threshold extension, with the deviations used, The 50,000 picowatt point will be well above threshold by the 1 dB departure definition. It should be emphasized that threshold extension demodulators do not perform any better than the conventional demodulator for input signals above threshold as far as output signal-to-noise is concerned, although they may be superior for immunity to adjacent carrier interference. To identify the extension over a conventional demodulator, it is necessary to define the performance of the conventional units. The position of the threshold in a conventional demodulator is directly dependent upon the noise bandwidth of the pre-detection IF filter. It has been found that intermodulation will be within acceptable limits if the IF filter noise bandwidth is defined by Carson's rule. It has also been found that the peak to RMS ratio of a multi-channel telephone signal may be taken as 10 dB for the purpose of determining the peak deviation. The Carson's rule bandwidth is then given by 2 times the quantity 3.16 F sub R plus F sub M, where F sub R is the RMS deviation for the full load simulation of all channels, and F sub M is the top baseband frequency, which varies from 60 kHz for 12 channels to 8,120 kHz for 1,800 channels. Using the 50,000 picowatt definition and an optimized IF filter, it is found that the threshold of a conventional demodulator occurs at a carrier-to-noise ratio of about 9 dB. For threshold extension demodulators of all types that were available at the end of 1969, it was found that the available extension decreased approximately linearly as the baseband frequency or number of channels increased, assuming optimum deviation in each case. For the optimized conditions, in the range of 12 to 600 channels, the improvement in dB over the 9 dB at threshold for a conventional demodulator may be approximately given as 8 minus 1.6 log F, where F is the top baseband frequency in kilohertz. Input signal measurement. The demodulator input signal may be expressed in terms of the carrier-to-noise ratio as measured in the Carson's rule bandwidth. It is often convenient to express the input signal in terms of C over T sub T, C over KT sub T, or C over N sub 0. In COMSAT service, a value of interest is the carrier power available at the receiving antenna connection to the low noise receiver input, and the C over T sub T at this point is the carrier power divided by the total system noise temperature, including the contribution from input thermal noise at the satellite and intermodulation generated in the satellite. The total system noise referred to the receiver input also includes the noise generated in the receiving system. The noise power at this reference point will be K T sub T B, where B is the bandwidth in which the noise is measured. The noise density will then be K T sub T watts per hertz. A commonly used notation for this value is N sub 0. The value is commonly expressed in decibel values or dBW per hertz. When the carrier power is expressed in dBW, the carrier-to-noise density takes on the somewhat unusual dimension of decibel times hertz. The value of K, which is called Boltzmann's constant, is minus 228.6 dBW per degree Kelvin per hertz. It should be noted that the value of T sub T in degrees Kelvin is always greater than the value of T in the G over T definition of the antenna performance. The T in the latter case includes only the contributions of the antenna and receiving system and does not include the satellite contribution. The carrier-to-noise ratio, as measured in a bandwidth B, is equal to C over T sub T plus 228.6 minus 10 log to the base 10 of B. C over KT sub T is identical with C over N sub 0, which is equal to C over the quantity T sub T plus 228.6. The threshold value above threshold for the signal-to-noise ratio psophometrically weighted in one telephone channel having a bandwidth of 3.1 kHz is given in terms of the C over T sub T by C over T sub T minus 196.3 minus 20 log to the base 10 of the ratio FRMS over FCHAN minus PE minus MCL, where the signal-to-noise ratio is in dB, C over T sub T is in dBW per degree K, FRMS is the full load deviation in kilohertz, FCHAN is the subcarrier frequency of the telephone channel being measured, PE is the preemphasis in dB, and MCL is the multi-channel load in dB. The above theoretical value is obtained for all threshold extension and conventional demodulators, and if a better value is observed, some error in the measurement technique has been made. The actual signal-to-noise ratio observed will be poorer because of the contributions of intermodulation and other noise sources. This added noise should be less than 500 picowatts in a well-designed unit. As was mentioned before, the theoretical value below threshold has not yet been solved. An empirical value for C over T sub T for an optimized demodulator at the 50,000 picowatt or 43 dB weighted point for channel capacities between 12 and 600 channels is given by C over T sub T equals 9 log to the base 10 of N minus 172, where N is the number of telephone channels. When demodulator tests are being performed, it is important that the test signal is fully modulated. The testing technique is to frequency modulate the carrier with a noise-loaded signal which has one telephone channel blocked with a band-stop filter. At the demodulator output, the noise appearing within a band-stop filter, which is adjusted to the center of the blocked telephone channel, is measured. A ratio is measured between the conditions when the band-stop filter is inserted and removed. This ratio is designated the noise power ratio, NPR, but is less than the signal, test tone, to noise ratio in the telephone channel because of the fact that the MCL is less than a ratio corresponding to the number of channels. Typical NPR sets do not display a weighted output, and it is also necessary to add 2.5 dB for the psophometric weighting or 1.5 dB for C message weighting. For the international weighting, the relationship is given by signal-to-noise equals NPR plus 10 log to the base 10 of the quantity F top minus F bottom over 3.1 minus MCL plus 2.5 dB, where F top and F bottom are the top and bottom telephone subcarriers in kilohertz, NPR is in dB, and MCL is the multi-channel load. The CCIR values for MCL were given in Section 2. Impulse count performance. Another measure of the performance of demodulators is the C over T sub T at which one count per minute exceeding a level of minus 22 dB M0 is observed. Typical values measured in the lowest telephone channel, 12 to 16 kHz, for demodulators available in 1970 are as follows. Number of channels 24, the C over T sub T for one count per minute exceeding minus 25 dB M0 is minus 155.8 dBW per degree Kelvin. 60 channels, minus 153.4, and 132 channels, minus 151.0. It is noted that these values all represent input signals that produce less than 50,000 picowatts. Only at 252 channels and higher does the impulse count specification allow a smaller input signal than is required to obtain 50,000 picowatts in the worst channel. Another test that requires multiplex equipment is to determine the signal level required for the impulse count to be less than 2 per minute in a 48 kHz bandwidth. For 132-channel modulation, this value was found to vary between minus 148.2 dBW per degree K and minus 151 for various groups in the 12 to 552 kHz band. Another criterion for demodulator performance is the ability to eliminate interference from adjacent frequency modulated carriers. The phase-locked demodulator has been found to be superior to conventional demodulators in this respect. The numbered references. Number 1, J.G. Chaffee, The Application of Negative Feedback to Frequency Modulation Systems, in Proceedings IRE, 1939, Volume 37, pages 317 to 331. Reference 2, L. H. Enloe, ENLOE, Decreasing the Threshold in FM by Frequency Feedback, in Proceedings IRE 1962, Volume 50, pages 18 through 30. Reference 3, J. A. Camp, A Comparison of the Threshold Extension Capabilities of FMFB and Phase Lock Loop Demodulators Employed in FDM-FM Communications Systems. In IEEE Transactions on Communication Technology, June 1970, Volume COM18, Number 3, pages 191 to 200. Reference 4, F. Carossa, CAROSSA, and F. Roca, Advances in Phase Lock Demodulation, published in IEEE Transactions on Communication Technology, June 1970, Volume COM18, Number 3, pages 182 through 191. A reference 5, N. C. Hekiminian, Hekiminian, and W. Mack, A New Threshold Extension Demodulator for FM Multiplex, in the 1969 ISCON Convention Record, pages 53 through 61. And finally, J. H. Roberts, Dynamic Tracking Filter as a Low Threshold Demodulator in FM-FDM Satellite Systems, published in Proceedings of the Institute of Electrical Engineers, London, Volume 115, Number 11, November 1968, pages 1597 through 1606. This report on threshold extension demodulators was prepared by Lawrence Gray, Bethesda, Maryland. DATE, Dial Access Technical Education, is an IEEE educational activity. If you need a copy of the reference list, send a self-addressed stamped envelope and the title of this report to DATE IEEE Headquarters, 345 East 47th Street, New York 10017.